Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are joined today by...
Ryan Millett, Artistic Director of Vantage Theater.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. I wanted to talk because I saw you guys are doing something really, really cool to try to get through this quarantine time. It's called Homebound. It's an original web series you guys are putting together that I know starts Monday, April 27th. So tell me, before we dive into that, real quick, if we can move chronologically, tell me, where was Roundhouse in its season, you know, when the coronavirus thing hit, you know, like how much did it sort of truncate?
We had finished half of our season, and we do a six-show season. We had finished the first three shows. They were all hugely successful shows, thank goodness. And then we were in rehearsal for the fourth show. We were in the second week of rehearsal when we had to make the decision to shut that show down. And then maybe half a week later, we made the decision that we were going to have to just cancel the entire season. So we canceled three shows for the season. And at this point, are hoping that we can restart our season, you know, our new season in September.
Which were those three shows that you cut short?
We were in rehearsal for Cost of Living, and we had to cancel Cost of Living, Big Love, and Hate Fuck, all three.
Gotcha.
And, the hope is to bring those shows back, but until we know more about whether or not, you know, next season is going to be a fully produced season or whether we're going to have to cancel shows next season, we just don't know exactly what the dates of those new shows will be just yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're all sort of in wait-and-see mode. It's kind of hard to predict when things will get back to normal and then what that new normal even will be like for theater, so who knows? Wait and see on that.
Exactly right.
Real quick before we go into Homebound, because Homebound just sounds so cool, but real quick, do you have any idea or, you know, ballpark numbers off the top of your head of, you know, I interviewed a couple other theaters around town, Ford's and stuff, a couple of weeks ago. Do you have any idea, like, stats of how much revenue was lost or, you know, that sort of a thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think we lost about $400,000 in revenue from, that is not my side of the business, and I'm so concentrated right now on the web series that I don't want to give a definitive number. But, you know, it has certainly thrown a real wrench into our production cycle for sure.
Gotcha. And I guess maybe not in terms of, you know, ballpark numbers, so I know that's not what your area of expertise, but how did the shutdown sort of you know, how does it affect the actors themselves? You know, describe about how a lot of them, you know, maybe are full-time actors, professional actors, and that's taking away their livelihood.
Yeah, I mean, the one big thing to know about how coronavirus and this shutdown, this national shutdown, has affected freelance artists in particular is that, you know, freelance artists, meaning the actors, designers, stage managers, directors, all the technicians who work on our shows, they are hired on a show-by-show basis at every theater across the country. You know, we do have full-time production staff, so electricians, carpenters, painters, things like that. But the folks who are actually in the show itself, the crew working on the show, the people, acting in the show and behind the scenes designing and directing it, they are only hired on a show-by-show basis. So they're disproportionately hurt by this because, you know, for artists, they not only had whatever they were currently working on, but they've had basically an entire half a season of work taken away from them. And they also only get health care for each week that they work. So, you know, we recognized that. We wanted to do everything that we could for artists when we ended up having to shut everything down. So we paid our cost of living cast that was in rehearsal more than we needed to pay them because we felt like it was the right thing to do, even though we know we're going to bring that show back. We wanted to take care of them. We paid all the designers and the directors what they were owed for the shows that hadn't started, but we just weren't in the position financially to be able to pay actors for work that they hadn't done yet because, you know, at this point we have to retain every penny. And we're using the same rule with our staff. I mean, if people don't have work to do, you know, right now we haven't had to furlough or lay off anyone, but we don't know how long that's going to last depending on when you know, when we're able to reopen. Our hope is that we reopen in the fall, we haven't had to lay off or furlough any staff, and we can continue to make it through. But a lot is up in the air at this point. So that's the big difference between a freelance artist and a full-time staff member. There are no artists that are on full-time staff other than like myself and Nicole Watson, our associate artistic director.
Gotcha. All right, now to the exciting part, Homebound. So as you mentioned, you know, it's tough for a bunch of freelancers. But now, because of Homebound, you're offering them, you know, a chance to some new original work here. So explain just a real quick boilerplate premise, you know, how many episodes
sure.
and sort of what the premise is.
So Homebound is a 10-episode web series where each episode is 10 minutes long about life under stay-at-home orders during COVID in the nation's capital. The way that it is written is that we have hired 10 D.C. area playwrights, and we've given them a couple of prompts, but they have full control over where this script goes. And each one of them, it is what we're calling a serial in the sense that each one of them picks up on the prompts from the writer before. So, you know, in the first episode, Alexandra Petri, who wrote the first episode, anything that she has written in about the character of Mahboud, who follows into the second episode, Karen Zacharias has to pick up from the first episode as she talks about Mahboud and another character. We very purposely chose the actors, the local actors who had lost work with us as a result of our cancellations, as well as some of the local designers that had lost work with us as a result of the cancellation, to work on this project, because we wanted to be able to, one of the big reasons, one of the major reasons why we're doing this project is that we wanted to find some ways to put artists to work. And we also wanted to provide ways for theater artists to be able to respond to what is happening in this moment. You know, theater, and I think our art form as a whole, has a lot that we can give and a lot that, you know, a lot of the processing that we will need to do over time to deal with the trauma of what we have all gone through, you know, we'll be able to be dealt with in plays, but those plays won't happen for a couple of years. It takes a while to write and develop a full play. And so in the meantime, what we wanted to do was to be able to create something that allowed people to have work and something that was DC-centric and or DMV-centric, I should say, and something also that, you know, allowed local artists to be able to immediately respond to what is happening. And that's what Homebound is allowing us to do. The really super unique thing about this is that because we can't take camera crews into people's homes, everything is shot by the actors on their own using their phones or their computers at home. So we have a script that's written by the playwrights. We meet with the designers and the actors to talk through what do they have in their closets that they can wear, what props might they have in their house that, you know, what things might they have in their house that would serve it right as props, what are the right kind of settings we need and software we need on everybody's phones and computers, and then we actually tape everything and then have the actors send everything that's taped to our server, and then we start editing it from there. And it's a very, very condensed process as well. We have about 2 weeks from the time the playwright starts writing the first script to the time that it is finished. It's only a 10-minute scene. It's not a long scene, but 2 weeks to write, edit, write, film, and edit a 10-minute scene is not a ton. And that's part of the fun of this, is that it's a very condensed effort. So each week as you're watching it, you're not just watching the story and seeing how the next playwright picked up on that story, but you're also watching it and seeing how this team of artists respond, how this team of local artists you know from other mediums are responding to this new medium in very fast time to this situation that we're dealing with. And part of what holds it together is our two resident artists. We have two resident playwrights, two resident actors in Mahboud Ibrahimzada and Craig Wallace. And so the first, I think, fifth and tenth episode are just the two of them, and all of the other episodes are one of them another actor. And so that's how it retains some kind of through line through the entire story.
Okay, gotcha. So it's not in, you know, self-contained short back-to-back. It's a continued storyline with the same characters, correct?
Yeah, it's just the only two of the actors are the same. The other seven actors are different. So two of the actors are in numerous episodes. They're the sort of the stars that hold it together. And then the other seven are only in one episode each. The big difference is that instead of having an idea from the very beginning of where the story was going to go and writing very set characters that, you know, that Mabud is this and Craig is this and this is how they know each other and this is et cetera, you know, where their arc is going. Instead, we don't really know where their arc is going. Each playwright gets to decide each week where the story is going to go.
That's kind of cool. It'll sort of the storyline will develop sort of in real time as we're all watching it. That's really cool.
Exactly.
Now, I admire Craig and Mabud's work from different shows around town over the years. Are they playing a version of themselves, or is it completely fictionalized characters, or how does that work?
Totally fictionalized characters. All the characters are made up by the playwrights, but we, for the simplicity of following things through, we decided that everyone would use their first names. So their names, their character names are Mabud and Craig, but these are not actor. And, you know, and they do live in Silver Spring, Maryland, and they are filming in their own homes, but they are playing a different Mabud from Silver Spring and a different Craig from Silver Spring, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess what I'm asking is, are their characters, you know, actors, or are they other members of society? You know, the characters
are members
playing
of society.
Okay,
yeah, no,
gotcha.
They're just other. I mean, in the first episode, what is clear is Craig's character is getting ready for a Zoom work call, and he's made a tragic mistake, and he calls his friends Mabud. Mabud maybe works at the same company, maybe doesn't. We'll find out probably in the second episode. but he calls his friends Mabud to help, and Mabud is both trying to help him, but also has recently been to a conference where someone was sick and has a slight cough and is a little worried about himself. And the whole thing is set back on March 16th. So on, you know, right as we all started to quarantine, that's when that episode is set, so that we have some room to sort of play with time in this.
This whole thing is so fascinating, man. Tell me, real quick, you mentioned that it's 10 episodes and they're each with a different, you know, 10 different playwrights. Run through who's going to be writing each episode in order, if you can.
Okay, so the first episode was written by Alexandra Petri. Then, who I don't know if you know her work, but I mean, she writes for The Post, and she's a humor and political columnist for The Post, and then also is a phenomenal playwright. She was also a member of The Welders. Our second episode is written by Karen Zacharias, who, of course, is, you know, one of DC's best-known playwrights. She has had numerous plays down at Arena. We have produced her work in the past, and what was having right before this one of the best years of maybe any playwright in the country was getting produced all over the place. Then we have Farrah LaWall Harris. Farrah is the head of Young Playwrights Theater in town. She's a Nigerian-American playwright, and she's a member of the Welders as well, or is a current member of the Welders. That's our third episode. Our fourth episode is written by Liz Maestri, I don't know how well she is known yet in D.C. She is an alum of Playwrights Arena and Playwrights Collective. She's just recently gotten her MFA, but she's a playwright that we love her voice, and we're very, very excited for her to be joining us. And she's getting development and workshops and productions all over the country already. And then we have our fifth episode is written by Salma Ali 24. Salma is, of course, an actor, director, playwright, whose work has been done all over the country, including a lot of, he's done a number of hip-hop reimagining the children's stories for Imagination Stage. Our sixth playwright is Tim J. Lord, who is going to be, his new play, We Declare You a Terrorist, is part of our season in 2021. And that play, Tim's relatively new to town still. He's been here for about a little over a year. He was working at the Playwright Center in New York prior to that, was a Jerome Fellow in New York. And this is an older play. The play that we're producing of his is an older play that was originally workshopped in New York and had a big sort of workshop production in New York. And then we commissioned him to remake it because it's about Putin's Russia. And we thought now is a great time to redo that play. Our seventh episode is written by Audrey Cephaly, who's a phenomenal playwright, phenomenal Southern playwright, whose work has been done all over town, but she had a production not long ago at Signature. There was a beautiful production there. She's getting produced around the country as well. Our eighth playwright is Danny Stoller, who is better known at this point still as an actor, but she had her first major play running at Signature when everything had to be shut down for coronavirus. In fact, it was a fully sold out, really hysterical production that I saw. I love her voice, and I'm super excited for her to be involved. Second to last is Lady Dane Figueroa Adidi, who is very well known in the DC market as an actor, director, choreographer, playwright, and we have been long admirers of her work in all of her different disciplines, and we're super excited about her being part of this. And then we're ending it with Kayleen Sinet Jennings, who is a longtime professor in town, recently wrote our Sarah play, which our teens do, and is also a former member of the Welders as well. So really, really amazing group of playwrights. Very excited to have them all.
Wow, that's an all-star lineup for sure. And you mentioned that, you know, also some of your creative team, you know, sound designers and lighting designers and the like will also be participating, you know, as much as they can, I guess, giving tips for wardrobing and how they can light their shots at home, that kind of thing. Give me a roundup of, you know, who those creative artists are and, you know, how they're
positioning
it.
Our resonance custom designer, Ivania Stack, is meeting with the artist. After we get the script, she meets with the artist and the director of that week's episode to figure out what they have in their closet that will work. Harold Burgess, who was our lighting designer on Cost of Living when this all went down, he is doing the same thing from a lighting perspective. What we're doing there is he has actually helped put together a little film bag. We have two of them that our master electrician has gathered. It has extra lighting, extra tripods, things like that. So Chris, our master electrician, will be putting on gloves and masks and dropping those off to people before they film. Harold meets with everyone on Zoom, and we look at the lighting, and we look at what they have available, and then he suggests other ways to improve the lighting before we fix the shots, before we start shooting. Matt Nielsen, who is our resident sound designer now, Matt will be creating all of the music. He did the music for the trailer that we've already created. We'll be doing all the sound correction and doing all the music for each episode. And then Jared Mazzacci, and I should say Matt was also working on Cost of Living when this happened. And then Jared Mazzacci, who co-directed Curious with me and was directing our production of Curious in Arkansas when this hit. We had a whole different, not an entirely different cast, but half the cast was new. It was at Arkansas Rep. They were also in rehearsal when coronavirus hit, and they had to cancel their show as well. Jared is helping us to create any effects that we need, as well as creating the intro to the show and any of the credits that we need in the show. So we're working with a whole host of designers, directors, and actors.
Awesome. And then real quick, you mentioned the two lead actors of this thing, Mahmood and Craig. Just tell me, just so I have a soundbite on it, what makes these guys, you know, such talented actors?
I mean, there's so many different reasons why we ended up choosing Craig and Mahmood as resident artists originally. I think the reason that they are phenomenal for this and the reason they work so well for this, both have been in films before. Mahmood also has extensive experience behind the camera, having worked with a team of people that have made a number of documentaries and shows. So he's probably got the most behind-the-scenes film experience, which is very, very helpful. But it, you know, it's the combination of them both being really great, versatile actors who can take on lots of things. Particularly, you know, they both have very, very kind, open, playful spirits. And so especially with something like a film script that's being written on the fly, changed on the fly, filmed, you know, in an odd way, you need people that are not just actors but are true collaborators. Most actors are this, I should say, but, you know, true collaborators in the sense that they are game to try out anything, to try to find out how to make it work. And that's what both of these guys have. They, you know, they have an incredible depth if they need to go there, but they're also super funny, and they are really phenomenal collaborators. And so they make for sort of the perfect partners for this series.
Awesome. Well, it sounds really, really cool, and I'm just it's fascinating how this has all come together. Let's end by how can listeners watch? I assume just through the Roundhouse website.
Yeah, it'll be. I mean, you can find, so on our website we have a whole section about Roundhouse at Home, which is all of our digital programming, which includes educational challenges for kids, a weekly Playwrights on Plays series where playwrights talk about a play that has greatly influenced them. And you can ask questions to the playwrights about that play or any of their work. Our weekly Quarantini, which is what we're doing for our bar to give a sense of that environment, where we're teaching you a new cocktail and introducing you some of our local partners. And then this. So all of it is available on our website. The show will actually be stored and aired on our YouTube channel, but you can go to our website, click on it, and get to our YouTube from there. Or you could just go directly to the YouTube channel.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm excited to see how this unfolds.
Me too.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.